This episode brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever find yourself playing the budgeting game? Shifting a little money here, a little there, and hoping it all works out? Well, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive, you can get a better budgeter and potentially lower your insurance bill too. You tell Progressive what you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll help find you options within your budget. Try it today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Not available in all states.
We got to talk about your birthday, bro.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Happy birthday, old Rich.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
I wanted to wish you a happy birthday.
You're finally the age that you've looked since you're 28.
The Rich Eisen Show.
Happy birthday,
Today's guests, ESPN senior NBA writer Brian Windhorst, five-time Pro Bowl tackle Teron Armstead, co-host of No Contest Wrestling Podcast, O'Shea Jackson Jr., and now, it's Rich Eisen.
That's right, everybody. Hey. It is my birthday.
Hey, happy birthday.
Can I confirm it is my 26th annual 30th birthday here on the Rich Eisen Show. That's a way of saying I am 56, but guess what? I'm wearing a shirt that I bought on my honeymoon, so that's the way it works in my life. Yeah, looks good, right?
It's an old shirt.
It is that, but you can't tell.
Okay.
You can't tell. It's like to say, you can't tell the shirt's old, and I'm hoping you can't tell that the person inside the shirt is.
But
I'm feeling youthful today. I'm feeling youthful.
Good.
Thank you very much, Lewis. Feeling good. Hey, it's a fun day in our neighborhood. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Brian Windhorst is going to be joining us a day before the draft. 2 days after the Thunder have won it all, the Thunder are having a celebration in Oklahoma City today. Based on the video, it looks like it's a rally that's starting inside the arena. And then we're assuming it's going to go outside. I don't know if the weather is bad or not. I have no idea. But, there it is.
It's hot everywhere, kind of.
I guess
east
so.
Of us.
But look, it's a full lower bowl there. The thing that stands out is, first of all, the Canadian flag that's draped around SGA as he's rallying the fans who are there. And then if you wouldn't mind rolling that back as well, you could see when they scan the crowd, this is really weird. People are not wearing the same shirt. Like it's kind of wild. Although it does look like they do have some sort of white shirt giveaways there. I don't know. Is that some sort of championship shirt that they have? But the fact that not everyone's wearing the same shirt kind of threw me off. And so the Oklahoma City Thunder have moved into the winner's circle. And one of the things I want to hit here, and I will speak to with Brian Windhorst, let's just jump right into it, here on the Rich Eisen Show, that when I look at this team and I see how it is constructed, and we went over it yesterday, the centerpiece obviously is the reigning MVP of the NBA, who the Thunder acquired from the Los Angeles Clippers. In the same year that SGA was drafted and acquired by the Thunder, drafted by the Clippers, acquired by the Thunder, in the same year they got Lou Dort as an unrestricted free agent. The 2022 draft, monster big for the Thunder. They draft both Chet Holmgren, speaking of monster big, and Jalen Williams, who apparently, now that he has won the championship, had his first sip of alcohol, it appears. Did you see that
to bring that up
Scott
yesterday.
Van Pelt? Did you see that?
Yeah,
TJ Jefferson?
He did not enjoy it.
Oh, by the way, I realized I didn't introduce all you guys. Good to see you, TJ and
Happy
Chris
birthday,
and Jay Felly. Thank you.
Hey,
thank you. I guess today's all about me, and that's the way I started the program.
I think all three of us took it. So
but, you know, it's all about the Thunder right here. The acquisition of the other players on the team, like Isaiah Hartenstein, and we talked about Alex Caruso and other players that you would consider as role players. But, man, you put it all together, there's really no role players. They just play a role as one of the best teams we've seen. 68 wins in the regular season, 84 wins when you tack on the 16 dubs that got in the playoffs. So they could have this rally and parade today. When you look at the fact that Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was acquired by the Thunder because Kawhi Leonard, after winning the championship with the Toronto Raptors, decided to come back home here to California, Southern California, and said, I'll come to the Clippers, as the story goes, if you also acquire somebody else to come with me, and I choose Paul George. And I guess Sam Presti kind of figured out all of that. And the shrewd general manager of the Oklahoma City Thunder, I believe we do have the details of the trade. He popped it up on our Monday show.
Do I have to see it again?
I have it here in front of me.
Sorry, I mean, I know it.
A first rounder in the 2021 draft. The 2022 draft turned into Jalen Williams. A first rounder in 2023 with a pick swap in 2023. A first rounder in last year's draft. A pick swap in this year's draft for the Oklahoma City Thunder. And a first rounder in next year's draft. They're going to have another first rounder from the Clippers in next year's draft for the guy who is the MVP of the league right now. Celebrating a championship the day before the draft in which they have a pick swap with the Clippers. And the reason why I bring all this up is Kawhi said, I want Paul George. Paul George goes. The two of them, as we all know, are not together anymore. And that's kind of caused me to wonder the question that I asked Jay Billis, and I will ask Brian Windhorst shortly, as I asked Billis yesterday, is this the end of the super team era in the NBA? Or has it already been... Or has it already been dead? If you recall, that was Draymond Green's response, right? After the Warriors won one of their titles, and I believe was LeBron tweeting out something about the super teams or something like that, right? I remember it was early on in our world here on the Rich Eisen show that's turning 11.
Yeah, Cavs and Warriors seemingly played every year.
Right, and so he says, you started the super team, bro.
You started the super team, bro.
And we have to wonder, is it officially dead or has it just been dead for a while? Because the Thunder on Sunday night became the ninth different franchise in Adam Silver's dozen years now as commissioner of the NBA to win the title. So in Adam Silver's first 12 years as commissioner in the NBA, nine different franchises have won it all. And if you want to just bleed it into David Stern's last year as commissioner, when the Heat won, it's 10 different franchises in the last 13 NBA seasons to win the trophy. The only repeat champs are the Warriors. They won it four times in the tenure of Adam Silver.
And I saw that graphic. Did you see how many teams won it during the 30 years of David Stern?
Eight. Different
crazy
teams in the 30 years of David Stern. Now, you can go back and forth about, is it the way the league is constructed? Is it the way the league is run? The way that teams go about their business?
There was expansion in there.
Well, there was also Michael Jordan in there.
Well, and, so that and Magic and Kareem and that, Isaiah.
That prevented a lot of other teams from going places. I think certainly in the era of Jordan, ask a Jazz, Knicks, Rockets
Pacers
fan, right?
Yeah.
Ask them all.
Blazers.
Or at the end of the, you know, Bad Boys era, Pistons fans. You know, he blocked a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the Thunder, Celtics, Nuggets, Warriors, Bucks, Lakers, Raptors, Cavs, Spurs, and Heat. In the last 13 seasons, 10 different franchises had their players lay hands on the Larry O.B. And then I did this for the David Stern years. Heat, Mavs, Pistons, Spurs, Rockets, Bulls, Lakers, Celtics. That's it. And, you know, weren't the Lakers and the Celtics the original super teams? Can you say that? Right.
They weren't constructed in the way modern
such
super teams were.
But when you look at the result,
when you walk through, say, Springfield, Massachusetts, and the Basketball Hall of Fame, and you see, there's McHale, there's Bird, there's
Chief, there's DJ, there's Walton, all Celtics, and then there's
Jordan, and there's Pippen, and is Rodman in there? He should be.
Rodman is.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Okay. I'm just making sure. You know. Oh, there's Magic. There's Kareem.
Big game.
But it wasn't friends on vacation being like, let's all go to some spot and play together.
Now, that was the Miami Heat that did that for the first time.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then everybody started to try and do the same thing with Durant joining a Warriors team that really wasn't super teamed up. They just drafted really well, right?
Yeah, that was their thing.
And then Durant joined.
Went to seek out these players.
And wasn't that the moment where LeBron complained about, in some way, shape, or form, about Durant joining? And hey, that may have been the genesis of it, of that drop. But is the super team era over? You know, we're taking a look at this free agency period. Durant just gets hired by the Rockets.
Hired. That's an interesting way. I've never really heard anybody put it that way.
He's hired to be the 37-year-old gunslinging adult in the room for these kids, right? The Celtics draft both Tatum and Brown and then start building the team around them. Derek White becomes a Hall of Famer out there. Yesterday, they just sent Jrue Holiday packing to Portland, who acquires him for the second time in 2 years.
That's right.
Holiday, if you recall, had a weigh station in Portland for a split second before the Celtics snagged him in that deal that involved Dame Lillard as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Anthony
Simons
going now to the Celtics. They get younger at the position. He's also an expiring contract.
Good three-point shooter.
So I kind of dig that trade for both teams.
Seems like a win-win.
But my point is that the Celtics aren't going to go into the free agent market and try and add somebody to make this a super team. They might not be able to afford it. They're already on, you know, their umpteenth apron.
Yeah, they're looking to shed salary at this
Correct.
Point. Yeah.
Because maybe the aprons, the way things are set up, and you get to the second apron and things get incredibly expensive. Teams are avoiding that, and that's potentially preventing a super team from happening. So you've got to draft wisely and then shop free agency and say, okay, let's get Alex Caruso. Let's get Isaiah Hartenstein and add him to Chet Holmgren. Let's add Caruso to all these young backcourt players that we have. Let's put this together with blanketing perimeter defense, collapsing in the paint defense with some shot blockers of note, and a kid that we're going to acquire because somebody else in the final throes of the super team era try to create their one of their own at the behest of one of the stars that they were acquiring in the free agent market, in Kawhi. Would you agree the super team era is dead in the NBA? And this is the final nail? Who's creating a super team?
Sort of. Houston's trying to. See, their thing is like, the way the super team was previously constructed, it was three players and then some really talented parts around the three guys.
Now, that they could afford.
Now, they can afford. Now it's seemingly, it's a two-player super team creation with, you know, highly skilled role players around two guys instead of three. It just looks a little bit different now, but I don't know. Yeah. Boston added Porzingis and Jrue Holiday to go with those two guys. That, in a way, was a super team, even though it wasn't free agency. It was trades.
Now, the super team would be for the Rockets if I don't know if this is true or not, what comes across my Threads timeline. Is Harden in play?
Ooh, to go back to Houston?
I saw that the Rockets have an opportunity to add some massive salaried players.
Well, I saw Jaylen Brown still being rumored for that as well.
And that Harden can leave the Clippers due to some option.
That's news to me.
Now that's a super team. If they acquired James Harden or Jaylen Brown.
And Durant.
And they still have Sengun and Van Vliet and Ime re-signed. That's a super team.
And ownership that's like, bring on the aprons because we want our own rally and parade. I just don't see it anymore. You just don't see it much anymore. And
I wonder if that has to do to also, TJ, with so much talent in the league. Whereas before, there weren't as many superstars, so when you kind of grouped a few together, you're like, oh, that's a super team. They have three future Hall of Famers. Now there's so much talent in the NBA.
That's interesting.
Skill level is super high right now, pretty much across the board. Every team has a outstanding franchise player, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to sound like the old guy, but that argument is skill-wise, players aren't as good now as they were. You know, in our time in the 90s and the early.
You don't think so?
Athleticism is higher.
Athleticism, yeah.
But like skills, like, you know, you're talking guys 4 years in college. All of our stars went to college for multiple years and you know, kind of honed their craft before just jumping into the league. So I don't know.
How about this one? And then we'll ask Brian Windhorst so he can be on time for him. How about this one? Because I'm flying back with Coop from Fanatics Fest, sitting next to each other. We're watching the game on, you know, on the screen back. Or the seat screen, right? And just one fast break, pull up 3-pointer after another. And he turns to me, goes, "See, this is what I have a problem with the NBA." And I'm like, "What?"
He said that?
I swear to you. He said, "Everybody,
I'm not even surprised, though.
Everybody just throws up threes."
Yeah.
And so if that is, in fact, now the way the game is played, and I think we can agree, right?
It is.
I mean, the Celtics are the, you know, hey, just keep hoisting three. You make half of them, we win. We miss 75% of them, we lose. You know what I mean? Like, it's that's the way it is.
Pretty much.
And so you just find that sweet spot. If we make 30, I'm sure Brad Stevens figured it out. We make 32% of our threes on a game night, we're going to win.
Yep.
Or I'm just picking a number.
38.
Right.
Who knows?
And so many people shoot threes now. What do you need a super team for?
But
right, if you just all you got to do is just get somebody who's really supremely great, and then have everybody start hoisting threes and make them. I mean, maybe that's it—the way that you construct a roster. I don't know.
I think the Thunder are changing that. SGA, look at what his game is. He's mid-range. He's pull-ups. You know, he's not the 3-point specialist.
Right.
Like, his game lives within.
Oh yeah, I know. The elbow. He actually shoots from the elbow.
So that might be the way it is. And you know, The Last Dance was on ESPN yesterday. I watched about an hour of it.
Yes.
And I'm just sitting there like watching Michael Jordan just dominate from 12 to 18 feet, Chris. I'm like, I know you tell me all the time the numbers say the three, but man, just in my mind, you master the mid-range game. You can't be stopped. I don't know why these kids don't do it anymore. Well,
four feet further back, it's worth one more point.
Yeah, but four feet further back, your percentage drops, right? Or does
again, the question is,
I'm
is
not
this
good at math.
And we will ask this of Brian Windhorst when he joins us, is the super team era over in the NBA? And he's just logging in right now. Let's go throw it a break. So when we come back, one of our favorites in advance of the draft, in the aftermath of the NBA Finals being won by the Oklahoma City Thunder, Brian Windhorst, coming up.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. You chose to hit play on this podcast today. Smart choice. Progressive loves to help people make smart choices. That's why they offer a tool called Auto Quote Explorer that allows you to compare your Progressive car insurance quote with rates from other companies. So you save time on the research and can enjoy savings when you choose the best rate for you. Give it a try after this episode at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can also test your battery for free, in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, or brake light fixed, or a quick service? Well, they'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. I know, because it's happened to me. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/Eisen.
Let's talk Sleep Number, people. If you're like me, then you are just not yourself when you get a bad night's sleep. Look, sleep plays an important, crucial role in recovery. We're all unique in what we need from our bed, too. That's where Sleep Number can step in. Sleep Number smart beds are the best beds for couples because you can individualize each side. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. It's just 10 numbers apart, but we like our side of the bed the way that we like it. Being able to adjust your bed's firmness after working out, too, for recovery, it's game-changing. So, why choose a Sleep Number smart bed? I just told you, but I'll do it again. So you can choose your ideal comfort on either side. The only bed that lets you make each side firmer or softer whenever you like your Sleep Number setting. And now it's the Sleep Number 4th of July sale. Save over $600 on the Sleep Number P5 King Smart Bed, the lowest price of the season. Limited time, exclusively at a Sleep Number store near you. See the store or sleepnumber.com for details. All right, back here on the Rich Eisen Show on the Roku Sports Channel. Radio audience will rejoin shortly, but let's bring him on right now. Our friend Brian Windhorst back here on the Rich Eisen Show. Good to see you, Brian. How are you?
Good afternoon, Rich. Morning, I guess, to you.
Yes, correct. Are you in the city of New York getting ready for a draft?
I am indeed. I am in the brand new Robert Iger building.
Ah.
Their Disney headquarters in New York. You'll be welcomed here if you'd like to do your show from here one day.
I didn't know that.
I like that invite.
Do you always speak for Robert?
I would never. I would never speak for Mr. I say Mr. Iger. I don't know how you call him. You may call him Bob. I call him Mr. Iger.
Okay. Well, I haven't really called him much yet, but I go so far back to I remember getting my first note from Eisner. When he was watching me on SportsCenter as like a 26, 27 year old, I'm like, wow, this is amazing. That's how far back I go as a cast member, you know? So.
Yes. Well, I'm sure that was not unnerving at all.
No, I just said, I'll just sit back and let Stewart take all the heat. That's pretty much is what I was doing back then, but it's good to see you, sir. It is good to see you. What are you looking forward for the draft first up?
So the first two, obviously we have Cooper Flagg, there's as much excitement about him as there has been about a player since Victor Wembanyama, obviously. And so the fact that he's going to a team that is already pretty established is exciting. And so this should definitely not be passed over as anything but the Cooper Flagg draft night. This could be the introduction of a real game-changing player in the league. But there's no drama with that. He will be a Dallas Maverick. And I don't think there's any drama with the number two pick. Dylan Harper from Rutgers will be Victor Wembanyama's new teammate with the San Antonio Spurs. The draft drama and intrigue will really begin with number three and the Philadelphia 76ers. All three of the top picks this year, Rich, this is an interesting situation because all three of these teams are more established teams that fell to this spot both due to luck in the lottery and because of injury. Because of Anthony Davis and Kyrie Irving's injury and lottery luck, Dallas is at number one. Victor Wembanyama's injury contributed to the Spurs being number two. And obviously, Paul George and Joel Embiid, the talent level under contract for the 76ers does not indicate a top three team. So the fact that these top three guys are going to these teams creates this extra level of intrigue about how these picks could affect the NBA this season, because very rarely do rookies actually impact winning and losing, because most of the time they go to teams that are not good, impact rookies. So if the 76ers, whatever they do is going to create a lot of cascading effects. The more intriguing player after those first two is Ace Bailey out of Rutgers, a player who had a sort of mixed bag during his only season at Rutgers, was listed at 6'10", measured in at 6'7.5", and then has elected not to participate in individual workouts with teams, at least any that we know about. And there is all kinds of speculation that he has a promise from somebody. And this is what happens when you have a promise. You shut down workouts and try to slip through so that you get that preferred team. I don't know who that preferred team might be. And so because of that, Ace Bailey has slid on the draft boards. Jonathan Givony, our draft expert at ESPN, who's the best in the business, he's got him actually going back to number 6 at Washington, even though he's got him number 3 on his board. So what happens to Ace Bailey will be interesting, especially what happens if someone sees him sliding, if he does indeed slide and wants to trade up. So we've already seen 3 first-round picks in this draft traded, and I think there's a couple that are in play in the top 10. Keep an eye on the number 7 pick, which is the New Orleans Pelicans. They last week made a deal with the Indiana Pacers to acquire their pick, the 23rd pick. And there's some belief that they may be trying to package the 23rd pick and their number 7 pick. They also have some draft assets of the Milwaukee Bucks over the next couple of years, which could be very interesting, that they can go. And maybe there's a player in that top 6 or 5 that they may be interested in trading up to. There's a lot of uncertainty around the Hornets at number 4. Would they stay put or would they move back? Because it's possible that the best option there will be guards, and there's, you know, they have guards on their roster. So that's possibly in play. And then the Raptors at number 9. The Raptors are showing interest in potentially moving. You know, there's a lot of uncertainty in the Eastern Conference next season, Rich, and the Raptors seem to think that they want to see if they can use the number 9 pick and a player on their roster to improve. Now, the number 9 pick has been out there being offered around a little bit. So I think we could see, look, for all I know, it'll go in order. Ace Bailey will go 3. There'll be no trades in the top 10. Mm. But there is some intrigue. So I would specifically that sort of middle hour after the number 2 pick goes, keep an eye on that middle hour. We could have some drama in there.
Brian Windhorst here on the Rich Eisen Show with a superb soliloquy to set the stage for the draft, the NBA draft that's going down on Wednesday night on the ESPN family of networks. Based on all that, what I took away is that the Sixers have the first domino, essentially, in this draft. Ace Bailey may have been standing on a New Brunswick phone book when he got measured when he arrived at school. A complete mystery as to what he can do in the NBA and who might be interested in him. And also, rookies in the NBA are rarely impactful in a first season. Is that why the Rockets, when they're chock full of young players, they're like, screw it, let's just send the 10th pick and Jalen Green and Dylan Brooks and a whole bunch of 2s for Durant, let's go win right now? Is that part of the reasoning
there? Before they even did the Durant trade, the number 10 pick was available. I think the Rockets, if you remember, they had the number 3 pick last year. They drafted Reed Shepard, and Reed Shepard could not crack the rotation this year. Now, he did have an injury in the latter part of the season that also impacted his availability. But I'm not sure Houston thought there was a player they could take at 10 that would be able to dramatically improve them this year. Whereas, of course, Kevin Durant certainly can. And so I think they were looking to move back anyway, because they were trying to manage some of their salaries going forward. I think the number 10 pick was always available, and when they could include it in for Durant, they definitely were willing to do that.
Well, Desmond Bane obviously went for a slew of draft choices to the Orlando Magic. Last night, the Celtics and Blazers made a trade. Walk me through the Celtics-Blazers trade, the why, and what you think, Brian.
Yeah, my friends and relatives who watch and listen to NBA content, they tell me, stop talking about the second apron. It's confusing. People don't understand it. it's annoying to hear you talk about it. Just talk about stuff that we can understand. And I get it, because it is terrible terminology. It's a lawyer term. We have not done a better job of coming up with something different. We have not done a great job of explaining it. But long story short, it's a threshold that is very, very restrictive, and not just restrictive in terms of expensive. It's restrictive in what you can do for your team. And so if you are in the second apron, you are thinking about getting out of it. If you go into it, you want to keep into it for a short period of time. And if you're in the second apron and you don't think you can have a great chance to win a championship, it's not a place to be. And so the Celtics are in there because of they've paid all the legacy guys that they have to win the championship last year. And without Jason Tatum, I don't think they see themselves as a real championship contender. At least their actions are dictating that. And so they are going to start making moves to try to get themselves out of the second apron. And their first move for that was trading Jrue Holiday. Now, the player that they got for him, Anfernee Simons, he will be a nice fit for them because he is a big-time three-point shooter, high volume, and he can really put up points. This is a guy who can have a 35-point night and win you a game. He can average in even in the 20s, I believe. And for Joe Mazzulla, who likes guys who shoot threes, I mean, he will get minutes. And I suspect that he will become to a new level of consciousness. He's sort of been toiling in Portland in anonymity because they're in a rebuild after the Dame Lillard trade. He's about to become much better known for casual NBA fans. That said, this is a downgrade trade from a defensive perspective, and the Celtics were built to be a defensive team. But Jrue Holiday has $35 million left on his, he's age 35, and he's got $100 million left on his contract. Mm. And if you don't think that you can have a great chance to win the championship this year, Jrue Holiday's value is probably not going to increase. And so there were people that were telling me that they thought that because he was owed $100 million, that the Celtics may not be able to get true value for him, that they may have to incentivize a trade. In other words, put some stuff into it to get somebody to want to take on all that money. They ended up getting 2 second-round picks and a guy that I think can be good for them. So I think they did well in a trade that was motivated by money. This trade will save $45 million in tax and salary for next year, and there's probably more on the way. I would keep an eye on potentially Kristaps Porzingis, although his health is a factor in a trade, and potentially some other role players so that the Celtics can hold on and afford Jaylen Brown and Derek White and their other core guys for when Jason Tatum is healthy.
Brian Windhorst here on the Rich Eisen Show from New York, where the draft's going down on Wednesday. And so what about the big name, the blockbuster, anything out there? Giannis is real quiet right now on that front. Certainly, when it's being discussed nationally, what do you have for me on a potential massive, huge moment tomorrow night on that front, Brian?
He won't be traded tomorrow night.
Okay.
But when it comes to Giannis, I think it's helpful just to state some facts. Giannis has not asked for a trade, at least as the time, my awareness as we do this. Mm-hmm. The Bucks are not looking to trade him. The Bucks have 7 free agents, 4 or 5 of which I would call their core players or rotation players. They do not have salary cap space. They do not own or control their first round draft pick. When I say control, they can't trade it for 5 more years. They're only allowed to trade 1 first round draft pick, and that's either the pick in 2031 or 2032, one or the other, not both. They have been deeply in the tax over the last couple of seasons and have paid almost $1 billion, in salary and luxury tax over the last 7 seasons. Mm. They are not sure what Damian Lillard's status is going to be. They're hopeful that he can return next season, but he's in his mid-30s and he had an Achilles tear in April. So those are the facts, and teams are looking out there and seeing those facts and saying, let's just wait and see what happens with Giannis. And there is no certainty. I am not here to say any certainty with that. But, I think I'm reacting to teams' actions. And when you see teams not go after Kevin Durant to save their assets for something bigger, I can't say for sure, I can't say absolutely what is in Pat Riley's mind as he doesn't put all of his assets on the table that he could for Kevin Durant. I can't say exactly what Leon Rose is thinking as the general manager or president of the Knicks when they elect to pass on Durant, but I can state those facts surrounding the Bucks, and you can extrapolate what you want to extrapolate.
Love it, Brian. Like that you just did the pointing without the pointing, pretty much the famous.
Well, I don't know. I mean, in the case of Rudy Gobert, I knew he was getting traded. I don't know what's going to happen here, and not knowing is enough to leave some teams to leave their options open.
All right, a few minutes left here with Brian Windhorst. Are the Knicks going to go into the draft without a new coach?
I think so.
It looks like it, right?
Yeah. It's not that big of a deal. The Knicks don't have a first round pick and don't have a high second round pick. Right. There's not going to be decisions made Wednesday or Thursday that probably dramatically affect them.
Right.
But it's obviously not going well. So they asked permission from a whole bunch of guys. They got turned down. They interviewed Taylor Jenkins and Mike Brown, two guys who were successful coaches over the last few years. And now they have moved on to interviewing other candidates, Mike Anori, an assistant with the Timberwolves, and there may be some more candidates. So again, I'm not going to try to pretend like I know everything that's going on there, but if they love their options, I don't know if they'd keep doing interviews. Now here's where I'm going to start stating more facts.
Okay.
Several of the coaches that they asked for permission on are in position to get contract extensions. Ime Udoka in Houston has gotten a contract extension. Billy Donovan has been reported, and from what I have been told, they're going to try and get a contract extension done. When it was turned down, it was under the understanding that he would get a contract extension done. Jason Kidd, who was their number one choice, has not had a contract extension done. And Jason Kidd's lead assistant, Sean Sweeney, just left the Mavericks to go work for the Spurs. Those are just facts that I just stated, and I can move on from there.
Okay. Brian Windhorst dropping a breadcrumb. Listen, I'm not going to go down the path of, you know, the Thunder are set up for long-term success, even though everything points to that with their age and their assets for Sam Presti. I mean, what happened last year at this time, we're talking about Celtics could be a dynastic team and yada, yada, yada. There's aprons and Achilles and stuff like that. So what is the resonation you think that is going to come out of the Thunder win? Copycats around the league trying to figure it out? What do you think is the rippling effect in this NBA pond here, Brian?
Well, the big thing that the Thunder have going for them is that their two of their three best players are really young. I mean, Shea is young too, but Chet Holmgren and Jalen Williams are on the first year of their, are they in the first contracts. It's almost like having in the NFL, having a quarterback who's on his rookie deal, who's great. You don't have to spend a big portion of your salary cap. So next year, the Thunder are not going to have any salary stressors because Chet and Jalen Williams are going to be on the first year, first, you know, rookie deals. And even after they extend their contracts, which is I expect to happen this summer, those numbers will start off relatively low. Mm-hmm. And so they're not in like under the same stress as some of these other teams are where they have to break up the team because they're facing second apron pressure. And not only that, but the Thunder have 15 first round draft picks over the next 7 years, including two. They have two tomorrow night, including the 15th pick. And by the way, they have a player who sat out this year that nobody knows about unless you're Serbian or you're a big Thunder fan, Topic, who basically got drafted last year. He slipped to the Thunder in the back of the lottery because he had a torn ACL. So he's, you know, he's a guy who can come in next year and do it. So even if they have to slice off some players because they start facing salary pressure, it'll be role players and they're completely, you know, positioned to continue to draft players. Like they can still draft guys that, you know, like if you look at these, let's say between Topic, the two guys that they draft tomorrow night, and if you look at next year, they've got three first round picks. Let's say out of those six players, only two of them work out. Okay, that's a low batting average for Sam Presti. Let's say only two of them work out over that 3 year run. They could let two of their other players that could be more expensive go and then still have those role players to put next to their big three, which are going to be under contract. So I would never make assumptions about the future. The idea that right now I would be talking about the Celtics breaking their team up a little bit after what I watched a year ago is a reminder of reality. Mm. But I knew the Celtics were headed to the second apron. The Thunder could avoid the second apron and keep these three players years into the future. And that gives them an opportunity to really do something special.
Okay. Last one for you. You said multiple times in this interview, I'm just stating facts. You can draw your own conclusions. Eight different franchises have won, pardon me, nine different franchises have won a title in Adam Silver's first 12 years as commissioner after eight different franchises won in the 30 years of the David Stern era. Are we done with the super team stuff in the NBA, Brian?
Well, I just detailed how the Thunder could maybe do it, but these aprons are anti-super team measures. And so basically, the idea of having a big three, the only way you're going to be able to really afford to put together a competitive team with three enormous salary players is if you're in a situation that maybe like the Thunder are, where You have the ability to bring in a whole bunch of extra role players, and maybe for a while those players aren't at the highest salary. Part of the reason why you're seeing such a robust market for Kevin Durant was because he had a list, but part of it was because you got to be real careful bringing in a guy like Kevin Durant, or bringing in any player that makes $50 million when he may not be your best player. Or, you know, be regarded as being your best player. Even though at this stage of his career, Kevin is sort of maybe ideal as a guy who shares the load. And so it's going to be very hard under the current rules to have your third salary. When I say your third salary, you can have two max players, but your third big salary, that guy's got to be a killer. And, you know, in the case of Oklahoma City, that's going to be the case. But, yeah, I think right now, if you look at the teams that made it to the end and you look at the teams that thrived during the regular season, even if you're looking at the Cavs or you're looking at the Celtics, it's teams that have depth. The Thunder have depth up and down their lineup. The Pacers had eight different guys averaging double figures just during the finals. The copycat is depth, and depth is not having three guys making all the money and then having a bunch of minimum salary guys filling out the other nine spots.
I mean, no doubt. I mean, why would the Thunder say, hey, we're in such great position because we built the team the way we built it, and then go the super team road? That makes no sense. I mean, that they wouldn't do it. I mean, right? I mean, right. That's...
Well, yeah, well, I mean, we have to see how their draft picks mature. We have to see what type of contracts these guys sign. I mean, you know, the Thunder got in trouble last time they had three great players by trying to get away with not paying all of them the max. That's what happened with James Harden. So I think they will be very careful not doing that. But, you know, they are uniquely positioned to be able to extend the window before reaching the second apron longer than other teams who would, you know, for example, like a team like Denver. You know, they let veteran players, support players walk because of the cost of their highest three paid players. And it's cost them. They have lost in game seven the last 2 years after winning the championship. And I can't predict what would happen if something didn't happen. But if they had their roster intact from 2 years ago, they may have multiple championships by now, but the stresses of the league and the forced talent sharing that is put down by the aprons and the luxury tax forced Denver to not keep its team together. Oklahoma City is in a position where they may be able to do so, but other teams are not going to be in that position.
Brian, you're the best, man. Thanks for the time. Go crush it over the next two nights, obviously, as I'm sure you will, and look for more of my texts to say, please come on. I really appreciate
Thanks, Rich.
It.
Have a great week.
You're the man. That's Brian Windhorst. Makes us smarter, says it in such a concise and understandable way. I don't know who's calling him up saying, stop talking about aprons. But, I mean, you know what I mean? It is the reason why Jrue Holiday's not on the Celtics anymore.
Yeah, and Kristaps Porzingis probably won't be either next year. And perhaps Jaylen Brown. It's, you know, it's the way the NBA is right now.
The Bucks spent $1 billion in salary and luxury. Whew. A billion. That's a B. That's a B. You got to say that. Right. All right, we'll take a break here. Lakers news.
Lakers.
And very rare is there news about when there's less of somebody. Oh, boy. But apparently that's the news.
Oh, as we continue the buddy shaking.
And Aaron Rodgers is talking to our buddy Pat and...
Saying some things.
about football, right?
About football.
Okay,
about football.
Right, you got to say that. We will take a break right now. The caller there right now here on the Rich Eisen Show. Who is this person? Hello?
Hello, Rich. This is a guy that's not all that keen on French fries, but I want to tell you happy birthday.
Oh, my God.
Happy birthday to you. No, I'm going to sing a happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, old Richie. Happy birthday to you and a whole lot more. It is your old pal, Joe Willie, Roll Tide, and Go Jets
famous. Joe, this is the greatest thing of all time. Thank you for doing this. How you doing?
Well, I'm a fan. I've known you for a long time, and all of a sudden you've lived a long time, and I hope you live a whole lot longer, too.
Oh, my God, Joe. You don't have no idea what this means to me right now to get a call from you on my birthday. You know, I mean, thank you so much. I don't even know how to say it.
As one of your fans, you've got millions of fans out there these days, man. So keep up the good work. I love listening to you.
Thank
you. And seeing you on occasion.
I appreciate that, you know, because, you know, I was born the year you won the Super Bowl, Joe. That's the year I was born.
That was a good year. You see that? That was a very good year.
It was a good year and a day in the life. It was a good year and a day in the life for sure. But, you know, I'd love to be able to not have to say that, right? I'd love to be able to talk about some other championship other than that, Joe. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, that may come about. So once again, man, I don't want to take your time up here much. I know you're talking about some important things. But I love you. Happy
Thanks,
birthday,
Joe.
And I look forward to seeing you around campus, man.
Joe, let's get you back on another time when I can have a longer conversation with you. But this means so much that you would call in and say happy birthday like that.
Well, you bet. And Thanks. Nearly any time you feel like it, I'll be willing to talk with you. I enjoy it.
Thank you, Joe. Thanks for calling in. Dude, come on. I got choked up right there a little bit, by the way. I did get choked up, you know, and I get more easily choked up now that I'm older, you know. That was fun. Who are you surprising me with today?
Me, Jay Felly, and TJ. And
okay, so there is, no, there is no surprise.
Well, 56 isn't really a monumental birth, you know what I mean?
It's that Lawrence Taylor birthday, man. Put some respect
Actually,
on that.
My fraternity brother, Dave Money Santlin, the guy who came up with the
Got it.
Yeah, for years ago. he texted me, happy Jeff Lagerman birthday.
Oh, he went, you guys go far back then.
Yep, we were. he might have recalled when I was in college, that's when Lagerman got drafted. I remember sitting there at the draft and seeing, Oh, the Jets drafted Jeff Lagerman, that was when Mel Kiper was making his bones on the air, and
okay.
He gave them the Jets clearly don't know what the hell to do in the draft treatment.
Yeah, who'd you take him over, I wonder?
I mean, I don't remember who they took, but there were other people on the board. I actually got a text from the man the Jets chose Kyle Brady over today. That'll be Warren Sapp. 99 hit me up today.
Steve Atwater went 6 picks after a while.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Is he in the Hall of Fame?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, great. Good to know. If you're on hold, stay on hold. We'll have some real estate to take some calls in hour number two. Teron Armstead is making his way to the studio, just recently retired after 12 years in the National Football League. He was on our show last year as a mere 32-year-old veteran of 11 years. Now he's coming back, and we'll chit-chat with him. He says Tua is just as good as Breeze.
At what?
Playing football and his accuracy.
Oh, God.
You know, Teron Armstead protected Breeze for many years.
Right. I mean, he would know.
He would know.
Yeah. More than me.
And also one thing I want to check on with him is he said one of the people he's most happy to not have to deal with anymore is Jared Verse. Mm. Well, he mentioned the defensive rookie of the year being a handful.
And he didn't have to deal with him very long.
No, he didn't. We didn't.
Interesting.
So, listen, we're always looking for any bit of news and anything to do with Luka. Last we heard from Luka, or about Luka, was him getting a little bit of a heads up in advance of the Lakers' sale of $10 billion out of the Buss family. And him saying he's looking forward to winning championships here. Meaning, hey, he's committed to the Lakers. Where it was any sort of sign that we could see that he's committed to the Lakers or Los Angeles, we're eager to see. And the fact that when we saw him recently in a white T-shirt, right, looking very pretty, healthy.
Pretty svelte.
And trim.
Yeah.
Svelte, yeah, that's a good word.
You know, that he's potentially committed. At least to Los Angeles life, that's the way things go.
It is
in
how
LA.
It goes.
You know, you move to LA, and suddenly, you know, sun's shining a little bit more, and there's more healthy options.
More green foods in your diet.
That's correct.
Yeah. I don't know. I got chubbier when I moved here. So
really? Interesting. That's it. Then you went the opposite.
I did go the opposite.
Okay. So Dan Wojcicki of the Los Angeles Times.
Saying,
basically, in The Athletic, that he's dropped significant weight, is working on a strict diet and cardio training According to a source with knowledge of the plan and a shift from his normal offseason, he spent a month away from on-court work to focus more on his body. He's looked visibly slimmer in photos and is now back working out with Slovenia, readying for the Eurobasket competition later this summer.
Oh.
So we'll see in Eurobasket if he's going to be making more baskets or is, because he's got better stamina and he's got better training. Strict diet. I don't know what it is. Except we have a Rich Eisen show exclusive.
Oh
boy.
We're going to add to this report. Sean Mitchell helping with this one. He is on Spike Zempic. That's what he's on right now. It's a new peptide filled with spite.
Spite.
And all you got to do is inject it. With minimal draft picks involved, you have to consult your general manager before using Spite Zembic to see if it's right for you. You just inject spite in there. And then all of a sudden, the weight comes off and you're no longer trying to win championships by chugging beers after the game. And I'm sure Mavericks fans are seeing this commitment to training and saying, is that the same guy that Michael Finley just strolled right up and took the beer away from like he's at an RA on the dorm floor? You know what I mean? Once a week, just take Spike Zempic and the weight will come off.
I believed him.
That's what he's on. Rich Eisen show, according to sources.
Nice.
It's a new injectable glutide.
Glad we can break
just
that.
Just filled with spite. And the weight will come off and you've got a new commitment.
Gotta get that,
that you previously did not have. Oh, yeah. He's got the beans. Maybe he's going to the Spite store first. That's here in Los Angeles, too, as you know. Just no defecation.
He's European. What about him drink and rip heaters and, you know, eat carbs in the offseason? Like, come on.
I think he's going to find out he's not going to be so happy.
That may be where he's from, but where he lives now is Los Angeles, California. There are trainers every single second. Like, are there more Erewhons or trainers here in Los Angeles, California? Okay, more trainers.
Sure.
Okay. Right. So there are more healthy choices,
I mean,
to be made here? Or is it just an injection of spite? I'll show you talking about my commitment. I'll show you talking about my lack of commitment towards focusing on a 24/7, 365. Is it LeBron saying there's a 24/7, 365 approach to winning? Look at me. I'm in my 40s now. And I'm just as good as ever. Or do you just go and just take that injection of spite once a week, you know, subcutaneous, and off comes the weight. And you're now you're hooping it up in Euro baskets and you're getting ready to win championships.
We'll see. Maybe he won't be as strong.
That's the other thing.
I'm about to make a name for myself.
You've got to be careful, though. You have to consult your general manager before using to see.
Well, we've seen Palenka these days. He's nice and trim, too.
No, it's the general manager that
you're spiting.
You're spiting.
I understand.
To see if it's right for you. I was on Spike Zempic after leaving ESPN for a long time. But as you know, I'm off it now.
I've heard that. I saw that in the trades.
Yeah. But still looking good at age 56. No Spike Zempic in here. None at all. Is that a great Smitch special or what?
It's pretty good.
We're going to bring this up to O'Shea Jackson Jr. when he joins us in hour three. Do we know what he wants to talk about? Because he said he's asked for time.
I heard
Normally
this.
Normally he'll just show up prior to recording.
Oh, yeah, like, well, 10 minutes to go maybe.
Yeah, Tuesdays are normally fall. When he needs to pick his daughter up from school, right? School's out for summer.
School's out for, yeah.
So now he can take an hour out of his Tuesday to come here and do we know what's... Is he on Spike Zempic? Spike Zempic?
Look, man, he's hitting it because he said he's trying to get his R&B body back. So he's definitely out there, but I don't think he's using Spike Zempic. He's actually putting in the work.
Okay.
But I don't know. He just turned to me when the podcast was over. He's like, I'm coming on the show tomorrow. I was like, what?
That's hour three. We'll inform him of the Rich Eisen show exclusive.
Nobody's
Lucas
safe.
On Spike Zempic.
The most common side effects of Spike Zempic.
The United States Soccer Federation presents the U.S. Soccer Podcast.
Inside the opening 45 seconds. What a goal! With that cannon of a left foot. All even at one.
Never miss a game.
What a start for the United States.
Shot from distance. What a goal!
Never miss a moment.
Exquisite from the San Diegan.
Can he finish? Yes, he can!
Yeah! The U.S. Soccer Podcast. Follow and listen on your favorite platform.